In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace to all of you who are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is the Shia of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Today, Sunday, is the 20th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we choose a verse from the Holy Quran for blessings, our program, and of course, learning an interesting point. For today, we choose chapter Isra, verse 71. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yawma nad'u kulla unasin bi'imamihim. فَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَقْرَؤُونَ كِتَابَهُمْ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا.
Mention, O Muhammad, the day we will call forth every people with their record of deeds. Then whoever is given his record in his right hand, those will read their records, and injustice will not be done to them. Even as much as a thread inside the date seed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In interpretation of this verse in Islamic sources, there are numerous quotations introduced, all of which enlightened thoroughly the meaning of the verse, indicating that the purpose of this verse is imamate or leadership. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace be upon him, said, "On that day, every nation will be called along with its contemporary imam or leader, and the book of their Lord, as well as the course of practice of their prophet."
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
This is today's special. We are speaking about who are the Shias. As for the Shia after the martyrdom of Imam Ali, they followed the leadership of his son Imam Hassan, and after him his brother Imam al-Hussein, and the subsequent nine Imams who were the descendants of Hussein. They followed them on the firm basis of evidence in the Noble Quran and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, who explicitly repeated on many occasions that he, the Prophet, would be followed by 12 Imams and that they would all be from the tribe of Quraysh. Therefore, Shiism can be termed as the following of the Noble Quran and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, as conveyed by his family, whom he appointed that are Ahlul Bayt. After the Prophet Muhammad, the Shia followed the 12 divinely ordained Imams as successors of the Prophet Muhammad. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bina-sta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth and fallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes those people who are inattentive to the needs of other people. So according to the instructions of the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, being attentive to other people, to the needs of other people, I mean, in Shi'i communities, everybody is expected to be sensitive to the needs of other people. And when viewed from this perspective, it can be found out that it has other, overtones or other implications. These needs cannot be limited to only financial needs. Any kind of need, educational need, or need for seeking knowledge, or need for example, reaching a better lifestyle and so on. And also, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam instructed Ibn Jandab, his companion, to inform other people, other Shi'i communities, other Shi'i people, in that people are expected to consider piety, religious piety, and being sensitive to the needs of other people. And no Shi'i individual has the least right to wrong other people. لَيْسَ مِنْ شِعَتِنَا مَنْ يَظْلِمُ النَّاسِ. Anybody who wrongs other people, who commits any crime against other people, cannot be regarded to belong to the Muslim community.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
It's a good time to look at the characteristics of a true Shia. It has been narrated from Muhammad ibn Ismail from his father that he said, "I was with Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam when Abu Basir, one of his followers, entered our company. He was breathing heavily. When the Imam turned towards him and asked him what was troubling him, he stated that he was on the verge of leaving this world, but worse than all of this, he was worried about what his state. The Imam said to him, 'Why are you speaking like this when you have the honor of being classified as a Shia?' At this point, the Imam went on to list the greatness and reasons why one who is a Shia should be proud. Continuing on, the Imam alayhi salam then said, 'O Abu Basir, surely Allah has spoken about you, our Shia, in the Quran when he said, "Surely over my servants no authority shall you have, O Satan." From the Holy Quran, chapter 15, verse 42. "And verily I swear that Allah has not intended any other servants of his in this verse except the Imams and their Shias and followers." Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Welcome for Knowing About a Life Lesson. Source of Arrogance. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "No one boasts to other unless he harbors a feeling of inferiority in himself. Recent psychological and psychoanalytic research has proved that the arrogance and boasting is nothing more than an inferiority complex. Those who suffer from it resort to the practice of magnifying themselves artificially to compensate for their deficiencies. By doing so, they only add to their inferiority and dislike in the eyes of their community." So clearly evident is this from the Imam's saying, "The faithful people are always modest before others due to their internal dignity."
And the school of Ahlul Bayt is based on justice. Allah is just. I am Shia because this is the school of thought that truly proves to me God is just. وَالْعَدْلُ أَلَّا تَتَّهِمَ. The Imam alayhi salam says, don't put any blame on God. Look at others, they put the blame on God. After Jamal, when Aisha was going back, they told her, "Why did you do this? Didn't you know this is Ali ibn Abi Talib? The Prophet had so much respect for him. Why did you fight him? She put the blame on God. She says, this is qadar. Qadarullah kana muqaddaran. This is the predestination. God has destined it. It's not my fault. God has destined everything. You see? You see how sometimes they have this view of predestination, but not in the school of Ahlul Bayt. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, yes, Allah plans many things, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for your actions. Don't ever put blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first reason why I'm Shia, because it gives me the complete understanding of what Tawheed is. Secondly, the second reason why I'm Shia is because the school of Ahlul Bayt gives me the best, most pristine image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, the greatest creation of God. Compare what we have from Ahlul Bayt and compare to what others have in their books. In my school, the first thing Allah created was the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. He's the greatest of Allah's creations. He is infallible. The angels learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But then look at some other schools of thought. Not all schools of thought believe that he was infallible. Look at Bukhari. Bukhari tells you the Prophet would stand and he would relieve himself. Is that the Prophet I want to believe in? Bukhari tells you the Prophet was mashur. He came under the spell of black magic, of sihr. Such that Aisha says he didn't know what he was doing. He thought he did some things when he did not. Is that a prophet I'm going to follow? And then the same Bukhari tells you from Abu Huraira that the Prophet once said, "Ayyuma muslimin sababtu." Any Muslim that I curse, right? That I slander, oh Allah, any Muslim, any mu'min, any true believer that I slander, make this as a means of forgiveness for them on the day of judgment. Maybe I will slander some people, haram, they don't deserve it, but I don't know. Ya Allah, make that as a means for their forgiveness. Is that a prophet I'm going to follow? Who's going to slander believers? This is in Bukhari. And many, many other things that you find in Bukhari, my dear brothers and sisters, and these other schools of thought. I am a Shia because I'm honored not to believe in these things. I'm honored to believe in a messenger, in a prophet who's pure, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second reason why I'm Shia. The third reason why I'm a Shia is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi gave us a recipe. You want to achieve salvation? You want to avoid deviation? The Prophet famously stated in Hadith al-Thiqlain, I leave behind me the book of Allah and what? My family, my Ahlul Bayt. If you hold on to them, tamassaktum bihima, you shall never go astray.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we will speak more about this interesting topic, and that is, who is a true Shia? Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. So may Allah bless all of you, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And let us reflect on some wise words from the paragon of virtue, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The believers should not dishonor, betray, accuse, disappoint, or disavow each other.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam al-Ridha, the 8th Imam alayhi salam, regarding the enjoyment of urgency in the marriage of young women. Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, the archangel Gabriel descended to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him the following, O Muhammad, verily your Lord extends salutations on you and says, verily the virgins from among your women are as fruits on a tree, which when they ripen must be plucked, otherwise the sun rots them and the wind alters them. So when young women reach marriageable age, they have no other recourse apart from husbands. Otherwise, they will not be safe from corruption. So the holy angel Gabriel, the angel of revelation, came and told this to the holy prophet Muhammad. He enjoined the prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to get women and girls married early, as soon as they become of a marriageable age, as to prevent them from corruption. So when the angel Gabriel told the prophet this, the prophet then climbed the pulpit. He went to the mosque. He went on the pulpit. He gathered the people and informed them of what Allah had commanded them. Right? So this is something that, unfortunately, these days, we see that society has gone in the opposite direction. You know, people are getting married later. They're getting married at a very later age. A lot of times, this causes a lot of problems. People get married so late, some people, that especially girls, that they can't have, you know, children. It becomes difficult to have children. A lot of times, the children born are, you know, have physical defects, mental defects, and so on and so forth. Everybody knows the benefits of getting married early, social benefits, spiritual benefits, as well as, religious benefits that it has. And in this hadith, we also learn the reason behind it, as has been narrated from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So in a similar fashion, the Holy Prophet has been narrated to have said, "The worst one from amongst your dead are the single people." If somebody dies without having gotten married, the Holy Prophet Muhammad considers him the worst and the most evil of people. Shiraru mawtakum al-uzzab. Al-uzzab refers to people who never got married. In fact, there's another hadith from the Prophet. This is a famous tradition which has been narrated from the Prophet, in which he said that most of the inhabitants of hell are those people who never got married. Right, so marriage in itself, we should get married. Secondly, we should try to get married young. The younger, the better. Of course, it should be at an age when we're economically and, you know, mentally and intellectually have the ability to do so. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the enjoyment of urgency in the marriage of young women from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجهم. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thanks for joining us again with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, and also with the presence of, the students of Sevier International School. So, thank you so much for joining us again, inshallah. In this session, we are going to continue our previous topics about learning and reading the Quran Karim fluently in level 2.
So before we start, I gotta ask some questions from the students here, and let's see what we learned in the previous session. So who can tell us, please, what was the topic in our previous session? Prohibition of, mashallah, two sakin.
Ah, sir, if two sakin meets together, yeah. We should put a harakat to the first sakin.
Yeah,
the harakat is kasra, but like, yes, or we can
okay. Do it from. So, the topic was like iltiqa'u sakinatayn and also raf'u iltiqa'u sakinatayn. It means the meeting of two sakin letters, okay? And also how to avoid this, because when two sakin letters meet, none of them have harakat. So none of them is like having a physical like ability to move. So none of them can move. So if he cannot move and he cannot move, so how can we create a movement?
Sir, they're not
it's very difficult, yes? So if Hussein Musa cannot move, Minhal Hussein cannot move, and we ask them, come on, move. They say, we can't move.
They're free.
So we have no harakat. We have no movement. We talked about it. So, iltaqa us-sakinatayn means the meeting of two sakina
letters.
And how to avoid this? There were like many rules. We talked about them, but one general rule was there, yes? One general like sentence we learned that if you find two sakin letters meeting together, you got to use this rule, okay? And apply it. What was the rule?
Add kasra to the first
sentence. What was the Arabic sentence? إِذْ إِلْتَقَتَ السَّاكِنَتَيْنْ حُرِّكْ
بِالْكَسْرِ
إِذْ إِلْتَقَتَ السَّاكِنَتَيْنْ حُرِّكْ
بِالْكَسْرِ
MashaAllah. Okay. That was the general rule, okay? But there are some exceptions. So that was how to avoid or prohibit, okay? The meeting of these two sakin letters. So there were so many general... So there were like many rules, okay? But one general rule that we just mentioned, إِذْ إِلْتَقَتَ السَّاكِنَتَيْنْ حُرِّكْ بِالْكَسْرِ. But there were some exceptions, okay? That whenever you meet, those two sakin letters, okay? There are some other harakat as well, okay? That you can choose them. Either it's a fatha that you assign, okay? Or for example, it can be dhamma. So when the word min, mim and noon. Mim has kasra, noon has sukun. Yes? When it meets a hamzatul wasl, or when it meets a sakin letter, so what harakat do you assign with? The noon. What harakat do you assign with?
Fatha.
Min was this, okay? For example, min al-qawm. Lam is silent when you connect them, yes?
Yes.
Becomes min al-qawm. Min and Allah. Min Allah. Yeah? Min and nas. Min and nas. All right? Min and al-kitab.
Do we have minin?
Say it.
Minin?
Min and al-kitab. Can you say it?
Min al-kitab.
Min al-kitab. Min al-kitab. That's it. But when you have these, like, the words that end with a sukun but preceded by a dhamma, like, kum, tum, hum. So if you join it with the next word, so you assign the sakin letter with?
Dhamma.
Dhamma. So how do you say? For example, humul kitab. Yes? Humun nas, for example. Or, like, Kuntumul, for example, whatever. So, okay? So you remember that you assign tum, hum, kum with a dhamma. Alright? So, these were some exceptions. And I want you to turn to page Ayah 45 of Surah Yunus, page 215. I want you to turn to page 215, Surah Yunus. So, please turn to page 215. That's good, that's good. 215, Surah Yunus, Ayah 54. There was one more exception that we said we assign the sakin letter with dhamma. That was in the word ra'aw when we have a wawi sakin. But before wawi sakin, we have fatha. So when we have a fatha, then wawi sakin, how do you kind of deal with these two sakin letters? There is a waw sakin, and the next letter comes, that's as well a sakin letter. Like ra'aw al-adhab, That lam becomes sakin, right?
Ra'awul adhab, yeah.
How?
Ra'awul adhab.
Ra'awul adhab, mashallah. So you assign it with?
Ra'awul.
With will, no. With dhamma. Okay, you assign it with dhamma.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So, look at this ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو أن لكل نفس ظلمت ما في الأرض لافتدت به وأسر الندامة لما the next word, look. وَأَسَرُّوا النَّدَامَةَ لَمَّا رَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ. You got it? رَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ.
رَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ.
Okay, رَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ.
See where you're reading.
وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطُ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. So, everyone, so one by one, read that word, okay? From وَأَسَرُّوا النَّدَامَةَ لما رأوا العذاب. محمد يحيى, read that.
لما رأوا العذاب.
عذاب. Okay.
عذاب.
عذاب. Yeah. Read مهدي. لما.
لما رأوا العذاب. وأسروا الندامة لما رأوا العذاب.
رأوا العذاب. Thank you. منح الحسين.
لما رأوا العذاب.
Okay. لما رأوا العذاب. Thank you so much. That was one of the examples. Okay. That we assign the sakin letter with hamza, and that was how we deal with it. Okay, two sakin letters meeting each other. So you assign the first one with dhamma, and there will be no problem because the second sakin letter, okay, will have a movement. How? By the help of the previous one. Okay, when you assign the previous, the first letter with dhamma, so this dhamma can help the next sakin letter to move on. Okay, to have a haraka. So the next example, I want you to please go to page 516, Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 11, okay? The last ayah in this surah. There is one example. Let me read the ayah, okay? And we will get to that example. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. Pay attention to this. How do I read the next three words, okay? Pay attention to the next part, okay? How do I read the next three words, okay? It's very important. بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان. Did you pay attention? بئس الاسم الفسوق. Look, it becomes سالسم. Yeah? بئس الاسم الفسوق. That's very important, okay? بئس الاسم الفسوق. So if I didn't, if I had not told you this, how would you have read this? بئس الاسم الفسوق. Now, بئس الاسم. The Hamza that ism has, the word ism, that is Hamzatul Wasl, okay? The previous one, al-ism, al-ism. So when you join bi'sa and al-ism together, the hamza of al is hamzatul was, yes? So it will be skipped. But bi'sal, the lam is sakin, right? The next part, okay? Bi'sal ism. That is hamzatul was, yes or no? So when you join the words together, hamzatul wasl, okay?
Skips.
Whenever you have hamzatul wasl, you will skip it. And sin also sakin. How many sakin letters do we have? We have lam sakin. Hamzatul wasl will be skipped. No. But sin is sakin again there. Be'isal ism, it should be there, okay? So it means two sakin letters we have, lam and sin. So you assign that lam, the first sakin letter with? Kasra, that's easy.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wa la nisa'un min nisa'in asa an yakunna khayran minhum wa la talmizu anfusakum wa la tanabazu. بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون.
So that was about our previous sessions, and we reviewed them and also learned some new rules, okay, some new examples. Inshallah, after taking a break, we will be with you, inshallah, respected brothers and sisters. So stay with IRIB English Radio and also with Sevier International Schools Network. So we will be back inshallah in a minute. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Wa kun Allahumma bi'izzatika li fi kulli al-ahwal raufa wa alayya fi jami' al-umur atufa. Ilahi
In this part of the Kumail supplication, the commander of the believers, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, إِلَهِ وَرَبِّي مَنْ لِي غَيْرُكَ أَسْأَلُهُ كَشْفَ ضُرِّي وَالنَّظَرَ فِي أَمْرِي. O my Allah, O my Lord, have I any but you from whom to ask the remedy of my affliction and regard for my affairs? In the previous episode explaining this part of the supplication, we concluded that we should always hope in Allah's mercy. We should beseech to Him in such a way that if we are drowning in the middle of the sea, we have detached ourselves from anyone and anything. We know we have no relations, no assistance, no dependence. We have no worldly reliance on anyone but Almighty Allah. This is one of the most important etiquettes and requisites of supplication, which Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us through this divine Kumail supplication. In fact, the one who says, O Allah, O my Lord, deserves to be free from all reliance and dependence, except that which is from the true Creator. The one who is calling out to his Lord is aware of the fact that his Lord is his Creator, so naturally he will observe some of the requisites and some of the etiquettes of supplication. Such a person should observe the world, its wealth, its position, passion, and material things as a blessing, as a tool, which is granted by Allah, but for having a sound worldly life, but to reach a prosperous hereafter. Thus, he should not consider these elements of the world as his master. He should not be controlled by his own desires to own all these things, because anyone who accepts anyone else besides Allah is called a polytheist, and the prayer of polytheists would never be accepted. The one who says, O my Creator, should be free from the sovereignty of other false masters, other pharaohs and their traditions, because if he is dependent upon false masters, if he is following their traditions, his prayer would not be accepted, because this prayer has got nowhere to reach, even if he faces many hardships. One should be hopeless of all creatures, which cannot even help to the slightest extent except by Allah's will. In this case, he would be wholly dependent on Allah and should not feel insufficient.
Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. O Allah, I beg you by your greatness,
is to be compassionate to me in all circumstances and be gracious to me in all affairs. My God, my nourisher, have I anyone except you from whom I can seek the removal of my afflictions and understanding of my problem?
Thank you, Allah, God, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Brothers and sisters, the lovers of Allah, who have always had sufficient knowledge about Him and His creatures, and know this fact pretty well, that Allah's creatures cannot do anything to solve their problems, have always been in a state of joyfulness and satisfaction towards their lords. These scholars have always considered Him as the sole problem solver, and they have been saying this wholeheartedly. My Allah, my Lord, when you say Ya Rabb or Rabbi, this means you know He is your creator and He is the one who controls you. Just like Prophet Moses, who stated, O my Lord, I have something in my poverty which you do not have in all your resources. Then Allah addressed him, What do you have? And he said, I have a Lord like you. When such a supplicant cuts his relationship ties with anyone, when such a person is paying attention only to Allah, He would have mercy on him. He would give him blessings. He would solve his problems and have regard for all his affairs. And in this case, the servant would be accepted before the Almighty. The servant would be subject to His benevolence despite his many sins, because he is hopeless of anyone and anything other than the Almighty Allah, and he's only relying on his Creator. This is the nature and essence of supplication. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. This is your host Zainab. I hope wherever you are, you're fine, you're doing well. And in case you have any problems, you're not doing well. In this holy land, we always pray for your well-being, inshallah. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we come up with the issues, the problems, the questions that parents have about the upbringing of their children. Well, the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have in studio with us our guest speaker, Sister Salma Khalafan. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure.
I want to start today's session with a question. I'm a young boy of age 16. It is sad to say that I have noticed many Muslims are so backward in many ways. Why this downfall in culture, civilization, education, manners, and etiquette? When confronted with my schoolmates, I get this feeling that my friends look at me in this manner, and I feel this way too. Is it really true? How can I confront them?
This is a very challenging question, because we see these kind of situations in the West.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking down upon Muslims and everything. So it's a question that is worth a lot of attention. And in fact, you know, a lot of articles and books should be written about this kind of ways to confront, you know, your religion. By having respect of this divine religion.
Exactly.
Because it's such a divine religion that it can give you so much respect. Yet if you yourself have a complex, then it could even be the downfall, you know.
All right.
Because of yourself, though.
Because
Islam will remain sublime.
Yeah.
So you must keep note of the fact that once upon a time, the Muslims were ruling over many cultured nations and they were the leaders of the caravan of civilization. So it doesn't mean that there was always a downfall. No. Now they've become developed, you know, dependent on developed nations. Okay?
Yeah.
But if they would want to, they would still rise very high.
Yeah.
Okay? There are many factors, actually. The basic reason of the advancement of the Muslims is nothing but Islamic knowledge. And the cause of their backwardness is aloof from the teachings of Islam. To stay aloof from the teachings of Islam.
Yeah.
So Islamic knowledge gives that sublimity and that respect and honor.
Mm-hmm.
But to remain aloof from the Islamic knowledge, that will cause the downfall of Islam. To apply the Islamic knowledge will give you that station of highness. To not apply and leave it behind will give you the downfall, that complex, that people looking down on you, that people disrespecting you, that Islamophobia, you know, the fear that you are Islam and you don't want to mention it.
But it has become quite challenging today, like the media is making propaganda in such a way, like even